I'll welcome everybody to the Carolina Bible Group Bible Study Voice Room. And again, it is wonderful to have you with us this morning. Grab your Bibles and get ready. Got a lot to cover this morning, and hopefully we'll get, we'll get as much of it in as the Lord allows. We'll just put it like that. Today's study will be study number 7 as we keep moving forward in our new series that we've entitled Things Most Surely Believed. And the date for today is 11/24/19. The year is rapidly getting gone. Can't believe we're this close to the end of 2019, but such as it may. The purpose of this study, and as I've said, I believe studies should have a purpose. Everything we do, if you think about it, is usually done with a purpose. You know, you get up and go to work. The purpose is to support yourself, pay your bills. You get up and fix food. The purpose is to sustain yourself. Everything, if you think about it, we do has some kind of purpose to it. It's always a purpose. And the purpose of these studies, these particular studies, is to differentiate the hope of the kingdom from the present day hope of the church, the body of Christ, using the principles of right division to guide us. And when I say right division, that's per 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or correctly cutting the word of truth. That's what we base our statement concerning rightly dividing on. If there's an admonition in Timothy to rightly divide the word, then you can bet that there's also the antecedent of that. There's the possibility of the word being wrongly divided. And I believe that, whether knowingly or unknowingly, I believe it happens in lots of pulpits every Sunday. I believe there's preachers probably, as I'm speaking right now, standing up teaching people that they can be part of the kingdom of heaven that Christ preached when he came and was on the earth some 2,000 years ago. I do not agree with that. I don't agree with that statement. I believe there is a difference in the kingdom and the church, and that's the whole point of this study and this series, is to bring that forth and to bring it to light so that you as the hearer can search the scriptures as you need to see if what I say be so. And nothing makes me happier than for somebody to do that, somebody to send me an email and say, hey, you said this in your study, and you had this scripture to go with it, but I got a question, or I have a statement, or I agree, or I disagree. It doesn't bother me at all, because, you know, discussion about the scripture is the first step toward understanding and gaining and growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. our last study, last week, we read and reviewed Romans 9 through 11. Of course, Paul wrote the book of Romans, probably the last book written during what I call the Acts period, or before the events of Acts chapter 28, verse 28. That's what I call late in the Acts period. The Acts period covers all the events that took place in the book of Acts. And Paul, of course, wrote 7 books during that time, both Thessalonians, both Corinthians, Galatians, Hebrews, and the book of Romans. So remember that as you read those books. Those books center with the kingdom as the hope, the kingdom of heaven, because that's what those who knew the Lord, the disciples and those who knew the Lord, and even Paul, who met the Lord on the road up until the end of Acts, that's what they preached and that's what they taught, was the kingdom of heaven. So, Paul, when we reviewed Romans 9 through 11 last week, Paul takes 3 chapters, or 9, 10, 11, takes 3 chapters in the book of Romans to take the time to describe the who, what, when, where, and why aspects of the grafting in that we see beginning in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, where the door was open to the Gentiles. If you remember, as we went through there, there was a certain chain of events that happened on God's timetable that Cornelius sent for Peter. Peter went back with the men to the house of Cornelius, and they had both had visions. They compared the visions, and Peter put two and two together and said, well, I see of a certainty that the Lord now has opened up the door of effectual to the Gentiles. Well, if the door to the Gentiles just gets opened at Acts 10, then it behooves us as the student of the Scripture who hear all this kingdom stuff being preached today. What went on before Acts 10? What was the message? What was that good news? What was the gospel? That's what gospel means, is good news. And so that's what our attempt is in all this, is to take the ball of string, as Larry used to say, that gets all balled up and tangled up, and lay it down and straighten that string out a little bit. Let's just look at what God has to say about these things in the book of Acts, which is by far, to me, the most dispensationally pivotal book in all of Scripture, is the book of Acts. So, last week, Paul described the grafting in process in Romans 9 through 11, and we looked at that in correlation to Acts chapter 10, as where Paul was defining the grafting in that God began with the Gentiles. We looked at Paul's description of Acts 10 in Romans 9 through 11. Because that's exactly what he's talking about, is the wild olive branch versus the tame olive branch. You know, if you know anything about trees, you can take a branch from one type of tree and literally cut a slit in another tree and graft that limb in there. So that what it does is it causes that tree to bear more fruit. It almost sort of gets jealous of that limb, or in rejection of that limb, sort of makes the tree bear more fruit. And that's the whole analogy that Paul uses as a teaching tool in Romans 9 through 11 to explain to us what was going on from Acts 10 through the end of Acts, in the book of Acts. So for today's study, let's continue laying the groundwork in Acts as to the exact events that took place after Acts 10 and the significance of these. So, if the word went to the Jew only before Acts 10, then we should, as good students of the word, we should be able to see places after Acts 10 that indicate to us pretty clearly, well, it's not business as usual anymore. So let's begin and let's look for what we're let's look and see if we can find these indicators that we're not just preaching to the Jews anymore. Let's find these indicators that Paul and others are preaching to the Gentiles now. So let's read. Turn with me to Acts chapter 11. And I'm going to read not all of 11, but a good bit of it. Acts chapter 11 is right after Acts 10, of course. So we're going to pick up right after the Holy Spirit comes down upon the Gentiles as they did the Jews in the beginning. So read with me. Acts chapter 11. Let's read. I'm going to read 1 through 26. I'm going to read it fairly quickly and stop and make a few comments along the way. But I want you to note that the news, as we read Acts, the beginning of Acts, I want you to note that now that Peter has went in and had a little confab with these Gentiles here, then as we read, I want you to note that the news of that meeting beat him back to Jerusalem. That's how people work. That's how the dark side works, is that the gossip, the word that Peter had been with Gentiles, those dogs, he had been in cahoots with them. He had met with them. He had ate with them. Beat him back to Jerusalem. Read with me. Acts 11:1, it's an and or now. Now the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Now, that's pretty quick messaging getting back, if you ask me. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, verse 2, listen to this. They that were of or out from the circumcision contended with him. They didn't hear it and accept it graciously, or they didn't hear it and accept it thankfully. They heard it and did not accept it and was a little contentious about it. They got ticked.
Well, it was, with them, it was kind of a political thing.
Yeah, exactly. So he said, they contended with him, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and you ate with them, Peter. What have you got to say for yourself? Boy, you are in trouble. You go off to Joppa and just, you go nuts. You've even eat with Gentiles. You went in and ate with them.
Talk with them.
Verse 4, but Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning. Peter knew how this was going to go when he did it. Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it or set forth in order unto them. Peter already had his story straight. He was going to relay to them the exact events that took place so they too could understand what took place. Read with me. He rehearsed the matter from the beginning. And he says in verse 5, he says he expounded it to them, and he says, I was in the city of Joppa, praying in a trance. I saw a vision. A certain vessel descend as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven or sent down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. It came as far as to me. Upon the which, he said, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. He's telling them the story of what happened to him, the vision that he saw. He said, and I heard a voice, verse 7, saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. And he said, but I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. I don't eat that stuff because it's against the law. But the voice answered me again, Peter said, from heaven. And he said, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. If I cleaned it up, don't you call it common. Because now, guess what? That which wasn't clean is now clean. You see how God can change things. God changes things. Peter said, and this was done or come to pass three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. He said, and behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me. He said, and as the Spirit bade me go with them, verse 12, nothing doubting, moreover, the six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house.
I reckon he had the six men.
I don't know. Doesn't say.
We know who the three men were.
Yeah. He says, and he showed us, in verse 13, he said, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Go find Peter. He is going to tell you how you and your entire house could be saved. Peter said in verse 15, he said, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, fell on them as on us at the beginning. Wow. Now, do you think if Peter weren't supposed to be there doing what he was doing, if you think that this was out of God's will, what Peter was doing, like these men did, that God would ratify that which was going on by giving them the same Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit that he gave to the Jews back in Acts 2? I think this is God signifying that, yep, Peter, you get it. You did it exactly right. For once. Because Peter's history, if you go back and look at it, ain't so great. Peter's history was not good. The one that denied the Lord before the cock crew. The one that started sinking in the water when he took his eyes off the Lord. Peter had a little bit of a stick-to-it problem. He had a little bit of be-focused problem. So he says in 15, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us in the beginning. Then remembered I. Then I remembered, Peter said. The important thing. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Wow. And then he says this in 17. So he says, here's his reasoning. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to this, what was I that I should withstand God? Peter said, I'm not standing up against God. Guys, he made it perfectly plain to me that what I was doing was the right thing. And I wasn't going to buck against that. Oh, that we could do that today. Just believe God and be done with it. Read these scriptures and glean from them what we're supposed to. When it says Jews, rightly divide and leave it Jews. When it says Gentiles, rightly divide and leave it Gentiles. But that's what we have a problem doing. If you asked, if you stopped any 100 people that go to church regularly, listen to sermons regularly, and ask them, what is the grafting in process in Acts all about? They'll look at you like a mule looking at a new gate. They won't have a clue. Most of them have no clue what's in the book of Acts. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that people, we have to understand these things to be able to get them straight in our head. To be able to understand what God's doing, not what man's doing, but what God's doing. He said, forasmuch then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? At least he got that right. Peter didn't miss that point. I am not standing up against God. So it says, when they heard these things, the men that were questioning him, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You mean the Gentiles didn't have repentance unto life up to this point? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Let the scripture teach, people. Quit trying to put things in places where they don't belong. And I do it as bad as anybody. Let's unball that string and get it straightened out so that we can understand this scripture and what God's really saying. Now look at verse 19. This is special. I don't want you to miss 19 through 26 because it is really important. So after that statement, Luke changes gears here. Luke wrote Acts. Remember that. Luke said, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. Oh, wait a minute. That rolls us back to Acts chapter 8. You remember after the persecution and the stoning of Stephen, they were all fired up, those who were against these Christians, these people who believed in Christ. And they laid their coats while they stoned Stephen at the feet of this Saul of Tarsus. And we've already read about him and what happened to him in Acts chapter 9, how God turned him around, totally shifted his direction. So it says in Acts 11:19, they that were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, they traveled as far as Phoenix. They left town to get away from the persecution of Paul. They went as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto who? The Jews only, because those are the only ones at this time. This predates Acts 10, because Luke is looking back now. He said those that were scattered abroad because of Paul's persecution traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch. They preached to none but unto the Jews only. Did you hear what I said? No Gentiles were being preached to. Is that a fair statement? If it's the Jews only, then you have to conclude that there are no Gentiles being preached to. I don't know how I can say it any plainer. You just got to get it that way. Now listen to this. And some of them, verse 20, were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now the Grecians there are the Greek-speaking Jews, still Jews only. But these were Jews that spoke Greek, not Aramaic.
Antioch here is the capital of Syria.
Yeah.
So
big city.
They had gone completely out of their land and
well, they had to. They were going to be, when Paul caught them, they were going to be killed.
Yeah.
So running from Paul, I want to stress that, running from the Apostle Paul, they end up in Antioch and they start preaching to the Jews there that speak Greek. They're preaching Christ. Let's read on. And the hand of the Lord was with them, these that were preaching Christ, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord, so much that they end up with their own assembly there in Antioch. Are you with me? Let's read on. Remember, we're looking for differences in preaching to the Jews and differences in preaching to the Gentiles as we go through this. So the tidings of these things, verse 22, came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. Oh, the guys in charge. So the guys in charge in the assembly in Jerusalem heard about what was going on at the assembly in Antioch. Are you with me? And they sent forth Barnabas that should go as far as Antioch. So they said, well, if they've got a big assembly of believers over there, let's send Barnabas over there. And so they decided to do so. Who, when he came, verse 23, and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Man, y'all are doing, when Barnabas got there, he was ecstatic. He said, man, y'all are doing great. Cleave unto the Lord. Bear fruit for the Lord. For he, Barnabas, was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus. Now, bear with me here. Keep up with me. So Barnabas leaves Jerusalem. He goes to Antioch. He talks to the people there, sees how great they're doing. He stays a while and more and more and more are added to the ranks, and then he leaves. Then departed Barnabas, verse 25, to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, or having found him, listen to this, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the assembly and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. The man who had pushed them there in the beginning. Are you with me on this? Remember why they're even there in Antioch. Because Saul of Tarsus was hunting them down like dogs, put them in prison. Guess what now? Guess who's going to be your preacher this week, folks? We got old Saul of Tarsus. See, That's God. That's how God works. And I don't know how to say it any plainer, but when I saw this morning, it just hits you. That's how God works. The way that you would think that it would be done, or how that we think it would suit us to see this story play out, is not how it plays out. But it plays out according to God's plan and God's purpose. The man that chased them away, the man they were running from, is now their teacher. That's what blowed my mind when I saw this. That's the glory of God. And that's just how God works.
Well, that gives you the understanding that when he struck him down on the Damascus Road and he chose him, that choosing now.
Well, you remember what he told him. He told him, "You'll bear my name before the Jews, before kings, before the Gentiles, and I will show you what you're going to suffer, young man, for my name's sake." Yeah. Well, here is one of those being fulfilled, because he's putting forth the name of Christ to these Jews here at Antioch, to this Jewish assembly. Because remember, they said that they went as far as Antioch preaching to none other but the Jews. They didn't preach to the Gentiles. They hadn't heard about the events of Acts 10 yet. They don't know anything about that. So I just wanted to make sure that you got the import, that you got the gist of that and the irony of it, that God took the same guy that chased them away and started that assembly, and now he's their teacher. That blew my mind when I saw it. I hope it hits you with the same intensity that it hit me this morning, because that is an eye opener for sure. Turn with me if you would, and you need to go read the rest of that. I'm skipping some purposely for time's sake this morning, because I am running out of time. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. I'm going to skip most of 12, we'll skip all of 12, but we're going to move on to Acts 13, because what we're looking for are differences in who they are teaching to. Remember, whether they're giving the message to Jews or Gentiles or both. So try to keep that in the back of your mind as we go through this. Acts 13, very important chapter in the book of Acts, and one that we could spend weeks and weeks and weeks going through with Paul's whole dissertation of the history of Israel up until the time where they were, and the number of years that entails versus the number of years that the same period back in the Old Testament. There's a little difference in the years that is another whole study about the Loami periods. Very interesting to do. I think I did that with Tammy and some of them, and had a really good study about that. But anyway, turn with me to Acts 13. We're going to read portions of Acts 13. Now, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 to start with, and some parts of this I'm going to skip as well. But remember, if I skip it, we get done with the study, go back and read it, because it's not all there for filler. It's all there important. But some of it is more important for what I'm trying to show. And to get more of that in, I'm going to skip certain portions. So let's read Acts 13, verses 1 through 5 here, which says, "Now there were in the church that was in Antioch." Yeah, that's the same church we were just talking about.
They've been there a year.
Yeah, they've been there a whole year, remember. "There were there at that church certain prophets and teachers," as Barnabas. Well, that takes care of that. We know Barnabas was there for a whole year. So he mentions Barnabas, and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucas of Cyrene. Didn't he say earlier that there was men of Cyrene and Cyprus? Yeah. Oh. And Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Oh, okay. I'm starting to understand this a little bit now. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, now listen to this. Listen to what the Holy Ghost says to these men as they fasted. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. As you read subsequent writings of the Apostle Paul, he will call himself the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. No other apostle in your scripture does that, folks. Paul was separated by this group for this specific purpose at the bidding of God himself. It's not a self-appointed position. It's not something that they voted and said, yeah, let's send Paul and Barnabas. The Holy Spirit named the people that it wanted to use. I want that to be perfectly clear. And Peter was not one of them. I want that to be perfectly clear. Who did the Spirit set aside? Paul, or Saul, and Barnabas. Hope we got that clear. It said, and when they had fasted, verse 3, and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away.
They boarded a boat.
So they, exactly, being sent forth, now they have their charge, they have their commission, they have their marching orders. So now what? What's left to do? The only thing left to do is go forth and do it. So they being sent forth by the same Holy Ghost that set them apart. They being sent forth by the Holy Spirit departed unto Seleucia. That's about a 16-mile distance. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. It says, and here's what I want you to hear. When they were at Salamis, listen to this, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. Now listen to me. There are no synagogues of the Gentiles. If you see them going into a synagogue, they are not going in to preach to Gentiles because Gentiles were not allowed in these synagogues. Because the rest of the world doesn't see what Paul sees yet, that there is no difference. The rest of the world is business as usual. It's up to Paul and Barnabas to get this message out. Are you with me? So they go into the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry. So it's Paul and Barnabas, or Saul and Barnabas, and John Mark. And they all show up here and they go in to the synagogue of the Jews. Now, they do other things. They go on to the, through the Isle of Paphos and they run into Elymas the sorcerer. That's interesting. You need to read that. But we're going to skip over that. Go down with me to verse 13 in Acts 13. Because Paul, they do a lot of stuff there with that synagogue there, the believers, or the synagogue. These are not yet believers. That's why they go to the Jew. What I want you to note is this was just to the Jews so far. And when they go into a city, they look for the synagogue so they can go to the Jew first. So even though the Gentiles have been brought into this hope, and even though the door is open to the Gentiles for this hope, guess what they do first every time they go into a city? They look for the synagogue where there are only Jews in attendance. And they preach Christ to them, and let's see what happens. Acts 13 through 17. It says, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, They came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. And that's probably why Paul had a problem with John Mark, because he wasn't tough enough to hang in there through the whole thing without having to go home or somewhere.
Well, he got nearly as far as they were going to go.
And then bailed.
And then, well, he had a long ways to go back home.
Yeah. I mean, that ain't no...
They had left Cyprus, and they were in the country of Mesopotamia at that time, and they were going up the coast there, and they were going to go to another city in Antioch.
Yeah.
In
Pisidia. And he bailed on them. And Paul got his impression, I believe, of John Mark right here. Like, look, he just ain't cutting it.
He is.
And it was Barnabas's nephew, right?
Yeah.
And Barnabas got a little, him and Barnabas split over this thing. But anyway, let's read on. When they loosened Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. Now, that's a different Antioch.
Yeah.
There's an Antioch, and then there's Antioch in Pisidia. Well, that's why that's there.
This is about 120 or 30 miles on the...
From the other one.
From the other one.
Exactly.
The coast. Yeah.
And they went into the synagogue. You see that? Now, I hope from now on, when you read the book of Acts, you're going to read it totally different from what you've ever read it before. Why? Because I want you to see where they go, what they do, and who they talk to. Specifically, not general, specifically. They departed from Perga, came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they sat down. It'd be like me showing up at New Hope Baptist Church down here today. Just went in there and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, well, do you think a bunch of Gentiles is going to read the law and the prophets? Probably not. The rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, hey, you men and brethren, you visitors back there in the back, on the back row, because that's where the visitors normally sit, right? You sneak in and kind of ease onto the back row so nobody will notice you too much. Hey, y'all on the back there, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Go ahead and tell us. If you got anything to exhort us with, we'd love to hear it. And so, what I want you to note here is that it's only Jews here. Look at what they're doing. As they go into a town, they look first for the synagogue. Because they know there are only Jews and Jewish proselytes. Now, a proselyte is a Gentile that has totally renounced his Gentilism and under the provisions of the law of Moses has literally been circumcised and took on Judaism. He is a, for all intents and purposes, he is a Jew. So it's only Jews and proselytes allowed in the synagogues. No, you know, none of these dogs. You can't let the dogs in here. We'll be in trouble. So it says, if you have any word of exhortation to the people, say on. So he gave them. And then Paul stands up and gives them that whole dissertation that I was telling you about the whole history of Israel, to bring them to Christ, to the point where he can present Christ unto them. Now, go to verse 38, because it takes that long for Paul to get through the dissertation of the entire history of Israel before he gets to that point. So look at verse 38 with me. I'm going to read 38 through 49. Now, again, I'm skipping this for the time's sake, but you need to go back and look at this after the study. Some other time you need to go back and read it. So Paul preaches to these Jews. And we're going to pick up here right at the end of his dissertation to them. He said, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man being Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the face of the Lord. St. Peter, Acts 3. Same message. Hey, y'all, you can have your sins blotted out someday if you have faith in Christ. And by him, it says, back to Acts 13:39, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Wow! These people have lived under the law all their life. They are Jews. They understand the law. They know the law. They try to live by the law. And now this guy comes in here that used to be a Pharisee, and he's going to tell me that if I believe, I can be justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses? That's what you're telling me, Paul? He said, beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. He said, for I'll work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Wow. Paul said, don't be caught by that. Don't let that scripture be true. Don't let that scripture overtake you and cheat you out of what you can have. And that's quoted incidentally from Habakkuk 1:5.
Yeah, that was hard for them to take.
They don't like this. They don't like being dragged away from the law of Moses. Don't you mess with Moses. You get my hackles all riled up. And it did for these people. And it says, and when the Jews were going out of the synagogue, listen to this, the Gentiles, or they, besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And it says, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. See, they said this 1 week on the Sabbath. And the next week, the word had got around to what they were saying. They were going to talk about it more. So when the next Sabbath rolled around, guess what? The whole town had heard about what's going on down at this place. This synagogue has suddenly become a very popular place. The whole city together came to hear the word of God. It says in verse 45, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Well, it's always their downfall. We can't let God because it's all about us. I'm envious of that. Boy, I wish we had that kind of crowd. Why can't they get that interested in what I got to say? They saw the multitudes. They were filled with envy, and they spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. It's not happy. Can't be happy. Now listen to this. Here's what I want you to see. Verse 46. Here you're going to see the grafting in action, folks. So get ready. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. They got tough. And said it was necessary. Now listen to this. Listen very, very carefully. It was necessary. Necessary. That the word of God should first have been spoken to you, Jews. But seeing you put it from you, you don't want it, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the dogs. If you don't want it, we'll give it to the Gentiles. And that Jewish limb is snapped off of that olive tree, and a wild Gentile limb, boom, is grafted in its place. Now do you see what the grafting in looks like as we go through the book of Acts. I hope so. I can't make it any plainer than the scripture can make it. But you have to let God do it. You have to look at this for what it is and say, oh, okay, I get it now. I see what this grafting in is. I see that if Paul and Barnabas preach to the Jews and they don't get it, that God will replace them with a group of Gentiles to provoke them to be jealous so that they'll bear fruit for God. Perfect sense, right? He said, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And that's from Isaiah 49:6. Isaiah, centuries before this took place, spoke the very thing that Paul was doing. You believe that? I do. Because the Holy Spirit inspired Isaiah to write what he wrote. The Holy Spirit, guys, can see the beginning from the end as the Father can. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the revealing of the will of God.
It is the lady.
Exactly.
It is our GPS.
That's our GPS.
Their GPS too. That.
Yep. And he said in verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, see, Acts is very specific usually about whether you're talking to Jews or Gentiles. Because guess what? Is Paul going to go before the Gentiles and tell them that they should have been doing the law and everything that the prophet said and all that? No. None of that applied to those Gentiles. That was as foreign to them as Buddhism is to me. They had no idea about the law and the prophets. They could care less. That's that Jewish stuff. We ain't got nothing to do with all that. Do you see what I'm saying? There were two messages. When Paul and Barnabas spoke to the Jews, they did it relative to what the Jews needed and could understand. When they spoke to the Gentiles, they had a totally different message. And that's going to get Paul in trouble as we go through Acts, because some of the Jews are going to hear the message to the Gentiles, and they're not going to like it very much. They're going to think that Paul was talking to them. And it gets him in trouble. And pain and suffering is going to follow him everywhere he goes, just like Ananias told him it would. Let's read on. So it says in 48, 49, we'll be done. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. When they heard the word of the Lord, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many, listen to this, and as many as were ordained or chosen to eternal life, they believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But get this, whenever they leave and go to the next town, the same scenario plays out. They go to the synagogue, find the Jews, preach the word of Christ to them, how they can have Christ and be justified from all these things apart from the law of Moses. And some will believe, and some will not believe, and they will mock, and they will make fun of them, and they will say that they are wrong and blaspheme against them. And then they turn and they'll preach the Gentile message of faith to the Gentiles. And if they believe, they are grafted in right in the place where the unbelievers left, so that the tree would be jealous and the other limbs would bear fruit. I can't make it any plainer than that. I don't know how. Because the scripture to me, if you let it preach it, it is explicitly clear about this grafting in during the book of Acts. I think it's one of the most overlooked things in scripture, and one of the things that we need as believers today to understand as far as what happened in the book of Acts. Now, I don't have all the answers. But it's pretty plain what you read in Acts, if you'll just...
Yeah, these people are going to come down. They're going to follow them. over there when they preach to the Gentiles, the other thing, they get so bad, well, they stone Paul.
Yeah, they're going to kill him. Yeah, they're going to get so mad they kill him before it's over with. You're right. Yeah. At Lystra.
Yeah.
And Iconium. He has to backtrack to show him he's still alive when God raises him up.
But his group that he had with him gathered around him, and God raised him up from the dead.
Exactly. Praise the Lord for it. So we'll stop there. Let me close with prayer, and then we'll shut the mic down and take any questions or comments you may have. Bow with us. Father, once again, we do thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth and the power that it has, Father, if we but rightly divide it. And we thank you for the blessings of the Holy Spirit in understanding these things and seeing these things as we go through it. Father, I know we go through it quickly, but Lord, we pray that the message is going out to those that need it, and that it will be taken in the light in which it's intended. Father, thank you so much for all those that have come this way. We pray for each and every one. Father, we pray for those that are in need. Father, for Gary's family, for Lenny and all of the grandchildren. Father, we pray for Tony today as he recovers from his surgery. We pray that you would be with these and bless them, heal them, and comfort them according to your will and your purpose, but not ours. Be with us, lead, God bless, and keep us in all that we endeavor to do. In thy name, Father, bless it if it be thy will. For it's in his name we humbly pray. Amen.
Amen.
And thank you, folks, for standing sure and being with us. And hold on, and we'll unlock the mic.